Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit korin.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
What is happening? You are listening to a Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair on Heritage Radio Network. Recommended Reading is the product of Food Book Fair, a food media festival. And Recommended Reading is where we get to talk with some of our favorite friends, fam, and collaborators in the food media space and beyond about what they're reading, watching, and listening to, and also just about what they're doing and how exciting and amazing and inspiring their projects are. So I am Amanda Dell, one of your hosts.
I'm Kimberly Chow, another one of your hosts. We're also the co-directors of Food Book Fair. We're really hyped to be on Recommended Reading live today with Gerardo Gonzalez and Carla Holgan from Lalito, one of our favorite spots in Chinatown. For delicious food, good vibes, and transformative fucking shit up, we're going to be welcoming them on in a little bit. But first, we're going to talk amongst ourselves, as we do, about what we're reading, watching, and listening to. Amanda.
Yes.
What's on your nightstand? What's in your iTunes playlist queue? What's downloading?
Ooh, I didn't download. It's not in the queue, but I watched a little bit of it a couple days ago, and it was so spot on. It is a show on HBO. It's called High Maintenance. It came back for the second season. It is about a weed dealer in New York City, and each episode follows him as he goes to one of his as he goes to a couple of clients in each episode. It is written by an amazing husband, and they were, I think, don't know their status right now. They at one point were married, a couple, and they created the show, and then Ben stars in it.
Who stars in it?
Now you're putting me on the spot of the character.
One of the writers stars in it.
Yes. Sorry for not knowing your name. I'll look you up and add you back in at some point. But they did. It's one of those shows that gets New York life so well. Like it makes fun of it, but also it's just so spot on. And the latest episode was about a building in Bushwick. That's all I'll say about that, with various different types of residents.
Was it the McKibben Law, circa 2009?
It's set
showing my age. I'm sorry.
It's set in 2018.
Okay.
But it's really, as the only way to describe it is, like, it could only have been really written by people who have spent time in New York in these locations. And it is really, really spot on. And I highly recommend it.
I used to really love Bored to Death for that reason, and you'd see them coming in and out of the subway station. I'd be like, I know which one that is. I know what right. bar that is. Right. Or Master of None, which is also that way. And I don't really engage with either of those two at the moment. I remember moving here and really loving Bored to Death at the time. But then I watched it again recently, and I was like, oh shit, this is all like white dudes living their life in New York, and it's actually not something I relate to. But you know, I laughed at the time. And I revisited something recently I also read a while ago, and Laurie Moore's Anagrams, which is something I've talked about a lot, which is the master of the short story, or the sort of depressive liberal arts woman professor living various lives in various small towns in America kind of short story. Laurie Moore wrote this book called Anagrams. It was her first novel, and it's sort of a series of short stories and novellas strung together, but it's two characters living variations of their lives, and Gerard is in love with Benna, and then Benna is in love with Gerard, and then neither is in love with each other. And I read it now, and it feels so distant from my own experience, but there is something about it that I deeply enjoy, and it's in revisiting, and there's something... Laurie Moore is a master of also creating a situation where you can wallow in it for a long time. Two of the characters within the book, one might be imaginary, but that's, you know, you got to get into that. That's a whole other conversation. But they describe it as white wine, W-H-I-T-E-W-I-N-E, a competition of white wine.
Kim's been trying to get me to read this book.
I've been radicalized in the last few years, and I've just said fuck it to all that. But yet, I still dabble in white wine, which makes me wonder what that says about my own internalized white supremacist literary tendencies. Actually, back up on that term. It's not white supremacist.
I don't know if you're quite selling it to me, but maybe I'll check it out and I'll report back.
I got to work on this with my therapist and then I'll have a more edited.
That's a different show.
Yeah. Description of this. Sorry to combine Laurie Moore with internalized compromise thinking. Anyway.
We digress.
Need the coffee to kick in. But
let's get into it with our guests and talk about what they are reading, watching, or listening to. Again, we are joined by Gerardo and Carla of Lalito Restaurant.
Thank you for having us.
Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to the airwaves.
This is so nerve-wracking.
You're doing great.
Oof. Don't be nervous. It looks like we're in the back of a pizza restaurant, but no one can actually see us through this window.
It looks so beautiful. This is like crazy. This looks so cute.
You're adding to that.
I am so impressed.
You're adding to that right now. So... definitely, we're going to get into Lalito, what you guys do there, how you got there, all that really fun stuff. But let's talk first about what you're reading, watching, or listening to. It doesn't have to be food related. It can just be, we want your recommended reading, watching, or listening to.
Well, I've been listening to nothing but SZA, like in the restaurant, in my house, in my iPod.
SZA was robbed.
Yo, I am so angry about that. She should have won something. Something. She, literally, all day, that's all I can listen to. And even though it gets annoying sometimes, I still, like, can we just put the song right on?
No, we still do it, though. Like, I mean, it's been kind of like months at the restaurant. I'm totally okay with that.
The servers are like, please, don't put any more SZA. We need something else. And I'm like, no, I kind of like this. Can we just, one more song?
What's your SZA go-to? I didn't actually watch the Grammys, but I read all of like the think pieces afterwards and then watched all the performances.
Yeah,
and,
she was robbed.
Yeah.
She was totally robbed. She's amazing. But I'd have to say...
for someone that's never listened to SZA before, what would be the first...
You've never listened to SZA?
I'm not saying me. I'm saying someone.
Sorry. Oh, my God. So basically, person out there.
Wow. Basically, is this girl.
What? Okay.
I'm sorry, Amanda. This
my
is like...
my God. Wow. I was going to say, what should be the starter songs?
No, it's honestly, it's... the whole album.
You can't just like pick one. It's like a story. Like the whole album is a story. Like it's about this girl, and it's all these songs are like for all the side girls, all the side bitches, like getting all united together. And they're like, you know, like I'm still lit, I'm still popping. It's just the songs are so good. It's about love. It's about growing up. So it's about like everything. It's so good. All right, I don't want to get it super serious. It's just really good tunes, like super good tunes. I can bop to it.
I think, I mean, we kind of have shared musical experiences because we're just around each other all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like Carla sees me bloom and blossom in so many different ways with all the music that I play. Oh, however, I take the music kind of seriously at the restaurant. And I think we're always kind of like, whether it's like,
that's a big part of our identity.
Yeah,
like
I think
what
so,
we play at the restaurant.
Yeah. Mm. But it's also like having an appreciation for like pop music to more just like obscure kind of stuff that unites us all together.
Can you tell us more about your about that? How music is important in the whole Lalito package?
I mean,
just a quick aside for people that might not live in New York but might know you guys from Instagram. Lolito is very well known for its Jennifer Lopez Waiting for Tonight green jungle bathroom with the lights.
Who doesn't love Waiting for Tonight or the video?
It's a very iconic song and video, and it, I don't know, it's just like that in particular, just like.
It kind of happened by accident. We had like a tres leche and we wanted to make the bathroom cool. Like we were like, we need to take selfies somewhere. And it was Gerardo's idea to do like the whole leafy jungle vibe thing.
It's just the scene, the main scene.
Every time I'm in there, I like stand in front of the mirror and then like touch my face like J-Lo in the video, which I think is like what is called for.
It's just a very iconic, very proud moment, I think, in Latino history.
I love that bathroom. I'm still not over that bathroom.
So, but yeah, I mean, music does play a big role in the restaurant because I think it's just the first way where everybody kind of automatically connects. So it's like when you have a really nice playlist on automatically and you see everybody in the room just kind of like dance.
Mm-hmm. He puts things and we do like this eye thing and I'm like, how do you know that song?
I'm like, Carla never gives me enough credit.
And then
I love
him even more. And then I'm like, okay. Definitely
she never gives me enough credit, but I know when to pull out the songs, and then it's just about the vibe. It's as important as the food to me. So
I know we said we were going to talk about this a little later, but we kind of got into it. So maybe just for everyone that's listening, talk to us a little bit about when Lolito opened, what it is, what you guys each do. You know, we know what it is because we love it. But if you're not listening, you know, in New York, and you've never been to Lolito, give us the primer.
We opened in October of 2016. No, not October.
November.
The week after the presidential elections in November 2016, which was a very funny time to open it up. And I think that kind of informs my view on just like how to run a business or at least participate in running a business. Not to say that it was specifically the presidential elections, because this is like stuff that has accumulated over many, many, many years. It was just kind of like, I think, a point when everybody just kind of collectively, even if you didn't say it, was just like, okay, like it's kind of a switch around. And not to just jump into that conversation directly right out of the way, because, I mean, it is a restaurant. It is in downtown Chinatown, Manhattan. There are certain like interesting things about it just because it's not easily, can't really categorize it sometimes, like the food or the atmosphere. And it's taken us a good part of the year and that we've been open now, or we've been open for more than a year now. And I think
we just had a birthday.
Yeah. Like it evolves and it's definitely different from when it first opened up. But I think that's because it's more collaborative between like the people that are in the front of the house and just creating a specific type of space. I don't know if that answers your question. I feel like I just rambled a little bit.
You did good. That sounded really good.
All right.
That's great.
I think for a lot of people, also the events that you throw and the events that you collaborate with folks on, especially Tres Leches, is something that is really a draw and seems to be so unique. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. Without me asking our leading question.
Tres Leches are my favorite. Like, Gerardo pitched this idea of, like, yo, why don't we have, like, these parties where people have, like, buffet-style food and we listen to music and everyone comes together and it's, like, everyone from everywhere comes and we just have this, like, buffet-style, super casual thing because our restaurant, I mean, like I said, like, everything else, you can't really categorize us. We're not, like, super casual. We're not, like, super fancy. We're, like, giving you good food, good service, and we're cool.
Right. But so, ordinarily, your service is like servers and people sit at tables and you have a bar.
We create an experience for you. So it's like you have these people that are super savvy with the menu and know really nice wines and are being very like attentive of you. But
it's a little bit of a departure. It's an opportunity for us to kind of break that mold of what the restaurant traditionally is, and not just our restaurant, but restaurants in general. This was kind of a major collaboration between myself, Carla, and people that have or still work at Lolito, particularly Alex, who's, I think, the best DJ in New York City. He's really good.
So good.
DJ Bebe. And Luis, who works at...
he's like our personality. Like, it's like we have roles to create this experience for you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can't say we're like fancy. I can't say that we're casual. It's like,
it's individualized.
Yeah.
So, but for me, it was kind of like, I mean, truth be told, I think the format of the restaurant is very outdated and kind of boring and
so robot-y all the time.
It's a little like,
you mean format of the restaurant in general.
Yeah. Capital restaurants
it's like, yeah. in especially Manhattan.
Yeah,
especially in, I mean, things are changing. You can see like as people are moving outside of the city because mm-hmm. there's more opportunity for that. But the actual formula for like all the restaurants that kind of open up, this like Eurocentric idea or this like capitalistic idea of just like you're turning tables, mm-hmm. it's like an hour and a half experience, everything's compartmentalized, is something that every day more and more so does not interest me, I guess. And this is kind of the format that, like, if you think about a lot of people, if you ask a lot of cooks, like, what were the events or the instances that they get into food, they always talk about the same thing, which is like a family driven kind of experience. It's so difficult to try to replicate that in a restaurant because everything is commodified to a point where it's like, it's just not fun anymore. Mm-hmm. So for us,
and we want to be fun.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. it.
I don't want to eat somewhere where I'm not going to have fun. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm going to spend my money and I'm going to sit here for a while and drink and eat more, mm-hmm. I want to have fun. And I want to feel, I don't want it to feel forced. I don't want it to feel like, oh, you're just like doing this robot thing to mm-hmm. have very,
going through the motions of eating out and like experiencing stuff. And this was like the ultimate in, first of all, it's like always all you can eat. It's always $29.95 all you can eat.
I like the $29.95.
So important.
Right. It's affordable.
It's affordable. It's accessible. And then you get like a free dance party out of it. And like we've had four and each one has been different and like gotten bigger and they're amazing.
They're
always
so much fun.
There's like by the end, you know, like all the tables are down and like everybody's literally just like grinding on the wall.
You ever been to like a Dominican baby shower?
I can't say I've had the pleasure of attending one.
So like a Dominican baby shower is basically buffet. You eat all you want. You're with your cousins, your aunts, everyone, your whole entire family, your friends of friends of friends of friends all together. And you're just eating next to each other, even to like cousins you don't know, friends you don't know.
Yeah.
So we create this space where it's like people don't know each other, but you're sitting next to a stranger, but we're like sharing sauces. And like mm-hmm. I'm taking your plate and like I'm taking your spoon and like I'm getting your water, like they're talking to each other and
you're talking shit
you end up getting drunk, so you move the tables and you start dancing now and you take off your shoes, like that's what we wanted.
This was another, I mean, that's an important thing to bring up too, because we all come from different backgrounds and like what it means to be Latino in or Latinx or, you know, in the United States, and what it means to be like first generation, second generation, and we all have way different backgrounds. But for some reason, like, these are the things that kind of unite us. Mm-hmm. And I think what started out as just like, hey, this is going to be, not, in the words of Carla, not a dusty-ass party. And
it is
be like
definitely not going to be no dusty-ass party. As
more
long
of a
as
celebration.
I'm in front of that door.
There you go.
Like, I'm going to make sure you're going to, like, this is going to be great. You're going to love it here. You're going to feel like your family. You're going to feel like I'm your friend, which I am, because I create these relationships with, like, people that go there. And it's like, everyone knows each other. Like, when you go there, everyone's like, you see everyone like, hey, hi. Everyone's like hugging each other.
You can move around,
everyone,
tables.
Yeah. It's just, everyone's like, oh, someone just got up to go to someone's table because they know each other. Because everyone just loves going there, like, together. It's so weird. I've always been, like, in this weird restaurant business before I got to Lalido. And I know how that goes. And it's what I've always known. And then now I have this. And I'm just like, why have I been doing that other stuff before?
It's because you thought that's how you were supposed to do
it. Yes, I thought that was like how every restaurant should be because they were all the same. So when I got there, it was like, wait, so I get to be myself? So I can like,
yourself.
I can be my own person and like have my own attitude and my own way of carrying myself and wearing my own clothes and still provide this great service to these customers, to these people that you created. Now you have a family, so it's pretty cool. It feels good to be a part of that. Like, even you guys, like, having you guys there and, like, now, like, that's a great. That's amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had one, too, that was, like, taking that format and we did it for the Palestinian pop-up, which is
the asymmetrical table.
The best one we had. So good.
So, I mean, it's that kind of thing. It's, like, it goes beyond just like the party and the celebratory aspect, but there's like an aspect where it kind of connects us all to that. Mm. I think, I mean, I don't always try to get like too deep and philosophical. I know that everybody's just like, oh, we're just going to have a good time. But for me, it's actually a point of pride of just being like, this is a way for us to kind of like connect and like reassert like what it means to be proud of your culture. And
yeah.
And that's kind of what it comes down to. Cause it's like, also it's like, the deeper and deeper I go, it's like the moments when I grew up, which were like those baby showers or the grill out in the backyard.
Mm, those are my memories.
Yeah. Like, the quinceañera.
That's what you remember.
That is to me like the first and only line of defense in like assimilation and like this urge that I think for me, my family or parents had of just like losing a lot of that culture to kind of like adapt to this culture. And this is a way to kind of connect back to that. So, I mean, that's kind of the root, I think. We just did, like, I started actually doing, we started doing this thing where on Sundays, it was just kind of the slow night of the week. So we closed for normal service and I'm just doing kind of like whatever I want to make and I make it cheap. And again, this is all like in response to like places that have worked in the past where like I feel that collaborations or special nights and all that kind of stuff became like commodified to just make as much money as possible in the sense of like I kind of got sick of doing like tasting menus for like
a collaborative guest chef dinner.
Do you know what I mean? Like it gets like they can be very beautiful and yes. I think actually they can be so genuine and like I'm so happy to see like this happen, especially when it like unites people and they can have an experience without having to travel and all that kind of stuff. But there is the other side where it can just be a tool for marketing and it can be a tool for like trying to make as much money as possible. And I think that's when you like start to look out in the room. And if you just see primarily just like, I mean, I love them. They're my friends too. But if you just see primarily like food writers and food editors, it's like, what are you doing this for? This is not really doing anything other than just like a bunch of people in a room kind of, I don't know, just like
I think that's
circling
also
around.
One of the reasons why there's such a magical radicality. Is that a word? Radicalness? It's so magical and radical.
Radicality.
What y'all do because you're literally changing the structure and the concept of what people think a restaurant should be. And certainly there are a lot of restaurants that say they do collaborations and guest chef dinners and a celebration of creativity and like coming together. There's family style or different ways of service to promote this idea of like people really being a family and building on a different idea of hospitality. And a lot of that is genuine and a lot of that is well-intentioned. But I think as long as it's seated in this context of the restaurant where you have the turntables, where it's a 90-minute experience, where it's appetizer, entree, dessert, drinks, you're out of there. It's based on, I mean, as long as we're in a capitalist system. If it's based on that, I think that will inherently only go so far.
Yeah.
So that you are having people coming in for a buffet where the price ends in 95 cents. And they're literally leaving while grinding on the walls. I think that is
important.
That's my measure of success.
And like, you know, That's what it comes down to. I also firmly believe that like space in the restaurant is an ecosystem. It's an organism and you got to feed it. You got to feed into that magic. It's like return it back into the whatever makes that space dynamic or else it gets very flat or else it gets like when a place and a space gets so taxed and it burns. You burn out the space just like you do the people behind it because you're just trying to generate. In Manhattan, you know, like this is me being jaded, but in Manhattan where it's like you have to be open for a super long time and stuff like that. And I even like kind of fell for it too. Like there was a point where I was like, I want to do a 24-hour diner. It really though, what's important though is that you have to be prepared for how you feed that space. So if you're not respectful to the space, by either letting it rest or doing these events, which kind of bring in and create energy, not just in a way where it's like trying to suck out energy or just trying to make the dollars
It'll be a different experience.
It'll be a different experience. And over time, I think you'll actually be more successful. And I feel like you would have a lot more longevity, because what it becomes then is you're an active participant in a greater culture and a community. Mm-hmm. You're not just trying to like take advantage of it. No. I guess. Yeah.
Take us back to the first Tres Leches. Like, you guys also like, you were like, okay, we want to do this Tres Leches idea. It's going to be a buffet. Then we're going to open up into a dance party. You guys were like in agreement about it. Let's do it. We pick our day. Like, take us back to that day.
When Gerardo came to me with this idea, I looked at him and I was like, are you for real? Are you joking? Like, he knows those are like my kind of, that's vibes. What I'm into. Like, mm-hmm. those are the vibes I love. And I was like, I can't believe my boss is telling me he wants to have a freaking party and like have a buffet and make it super cheap for people to come here and have fun. Like, this sounds like I'm going to a party in my hood, like in the Bronx. Like, and he's like, no, I'm so serious. Like, let's do this. Like, we're going to have so much fun. It's going to work. Like, I already know what I want to make. Like, this is what I'm making. I'm making a big old pig. We're going to have so many
sides. Suckling pig.
I was just like, my mom only makes those for special occasions. Like, in my culture, like, mommy only makes pernil when it's a baby shower, someone's getting baptized, or like the party's gonna be super lit.
So we all got baptized.
And we had a tres leches. And it was
baptism by tres leches.
It was DJ Bebe, it was his peoples, it was his Luis, and it was just us, and it was just people we knew. It was our friends.
It brought in like a lot of I'm giving so much hate on Manhattan, but it brought in a lot of like energy and love from all the other outer boroughs of like the Bronx and Queens, and it just brought a lot of people in. And I think the first one, I mean, I also believe in the beauty and magic of chaos to everybody else's annoyance and frustration. But
he loves it when it's crazy. That's when he has the most fun, when he knows it's just going to be crazy, but it's going to end up
great. Well, I mean,
great.
Like, it's funny because like there was one where I was like, we were mad organized and all this kind of shit, and Carlo was like, what's wrong with you? And
yeah, he was so shaky. Like, everything, we already had everything so set up, everything was so good.
I was on point for that one.
Yeah, you were very on point, very proud of you for that one. But we were so organized, and at some point he was like still moving around, and I'm like,
enjoy it,
it's perfect, enjoy it, it's happening, like it's so good right now, like you can relax. I was like, go have a drink. I was like, he's like, I don't drink.
Well, I wasn't drinking, right. But
he's like, I don't drink.
I think it was just because socially, I enjoy the atmosphere, but I would rather be doing something. I think that's why I got into cooking, is because like you're like, oh, I got to go run into the kitchen and stuff like that to take care of this. But I guess getting back to that point, it's just like there. You have to like, sometimes you can be extremely organized, but it's not going to be the same result as if, I don't know if that's just like our people or something.
I don't know.
Like inherent, like who gives a shit? Like, you know, there's food on the table.
Yeah.
So like
go grab it.
Yeah.
Go eat it.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, it's like, so, I mean, there's been a lot of like letting go of perfection, but at the same time, it's actually made it a lot, tighter, I guess, on the outside.
Yeah.
And, so it's just become like, so by the third, like we did some collaborative ones. We did one with Little Deb's Oasis in Hudson, which I'm very proud of.
I love those folks.
Oh my
I'm
god!
So,
wait, too much fun.
Their whole crew.
I have a Little Deb's Oasis crop top from Food Book Fair.
They participated in Foodie Articles in Food Book Fair 2017 in New York, and their setup was so amazing. I still can't stop thinking about it. They're like, we have clothing, we have swag,
we have lemonade.
We were
they
like,
are the
where
best
have
people.
You been?
They have everything. I mean,
they are the best.
This is what it is. They are going, again, beyond whatever dumbass standard there is.
They're
of
family.
Like what a restaurant
they
has to be.
They are a family.
And it becomes something that's like a little bit more like accessible and inclusive and empowering. And that's what a restaurant should be. It should be about the community and the neighborhood that you serve. And I think they get it. And that's why I was very proud of that one. Not only that, but I mean, they make some really crazy, amazing food. Their whole staff is like, it's like an extended family. We always like equated it to, not to date myself, but like when like Full House and Family Matters did like
a
crossover.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I was
like
literally
sitcom. Like, you know what I mean?
The
like
entire
a crossover
time,
episode?
I was like, you're the Gerardo, you are the Carla, like, you are the us. Like, we were like, we're cousins.
Yeah.
Like, we're the cool cousins at the wedding right now. Like,
yeah, all of us. We all found cool each cousins. Other.
Oh, I love that feeling.
Yeah. Like, it was so crazy to be working with these people that, like, did what we did. Like, we, but not, like...
But I think they even take it above and beyond. Because I think like, everything that level. They do is more about... Even if you're not, like, out there, like, yeah, we're, you know, like, we're fighting for our people. It's still everything that you do is an extension of just,
it's more
like,
unique.
Yeah.
It's more unique in the greatest way. Like the greatest way,
empowering and, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So that was a really good one. The one after that we did was kind of like, I think the last one we did was a benefit for Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
After mm-hmm. it was after the hurricane, and
that turnout was crazy.
That one was insane.
That was our biggest turnout yeah, ever.
That was a beautiful one. That was it. Was
I think I cried a little bit.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I cannot believe this. Like this is so great.
It was just so many different worlds coming together. Like. I got all these amazing chefs to kind of contribute. So there's Camille from Demaria, Scar's Pizza, Angela, Dima Yuga, mm-hmm. Devon Francis from Yardi, and Aura Wise, and Anya from Kin and Kin. Mm-hmm. And we like combined food world with like downtown and fashion world because and all of
everyone
DJ Bebe's
like
world. And
together.
Then there was like activism.
It was
going to
be a party.
It was a party.
It was a party.
I've never seen it like...
Yeah, it was a party.
Activism and like all that kind of stuff like merge in a way that was like so beautiful. And I don't think people realize like it wasn't just we were raising money as like disaster relief, but it also became... It became more actually about raising money for like resilience and educating people about like the fucked up policies that we have with other mm-hmm. people in the United States and how... all of our policies are just like self-benefiting and it's really exploitative of a lot of people. And I think that was a good opportunity to kind of like talk about that. Like, hey, this hurricane was really fucked up, but it's unveiling so much more things mm-hmm. that are like systemic that need to. So the fact that like all of that can come from like this veneer, like Trojan horse of a party.
Yeah.
And you can talk about all this kind of stuff to me is so inspiring and like, kind of just all I want to like focus on in the upcoming year.
Yeah.
And just like really, yeah. I just feel very lucky to have met all these people. And
this is my proudest moment. I'm so proud to be a part of this. Like yeah. I've never been proud of something like super, super hardcore like that I know that I worked on and like mm-hmm. I was a part, like I am so proud to be a part of this. Like I'm like, yep.
Even the simple one we did last Sunday, like that was... a connection that yeah. it just means a little bit more. It's like we did $20 all you can eat like
yeah.
carne asada and I just played like old school lowrider oldies that I grew up with in San Diego, like part of Chicano culture.
Yeah.
And to me that was just like it was a very beautiful night and it really felt connected to my roots and my family and all mm. that kind of stuff. And for me to be able to share that with the people that I care about here. And then also allow us to create this platform so whenever they want to do that, they yeah. can feel like they're expressing a part of themselves. Like that's, mm-hmm. I think, for me, is the primary objective of having a business.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for me, making a shit ton of money and like being Mr. Downtown or Mr. New York or
isn't the most important.
Is not, like I could give a shit about that. And I think like, a lot of the objectives for usually dudes or men in the New yeah. York City restaurant world is just so ass backwards. And I'm just glad that like it's all getting burned down right now.
Yeah. And I mean, hey, you're putting magical radicalness or radical magicalness into play. And I think how this idea of what the restaurant can be or should be and how that's evolving and the conversations we're having and also how people are putting them into practice like y'all at Lolito. I think it's really inspiring and forward moving. And I think it's possible to be actively burning down the old system while building this new one and seeing.
It's tricky. It's what, hard.
Yeah, it is tricky. Yeah.
It's hard internally and all that kind of, I mean, we can say how this is the proudest moments, but yeah. like I know, tall hell that I can annoy and frustrate the hell out of Carla and like everyone yeah. else because like this is all in you know, just
but
like
I respect it. Yeah. But like, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta
burn down the shit that you have inside yourself too. Yeah. And like that's not an easy process.
Hard part. That's
it's
a
not,
really hard
and
part.
You have to take accountability and you see things like as they're happening in real time, yeah. or you could be reflective like last week, like, oh fuck, like this is a really difficult process to kind of go through, but it's very important. And I will apologize and like try to become, you know, that's just the constant thing. Like try to become the best person that you
possibly
can.
Yeah, we're all working on ourselves while we're working on the outside. We're going to take a little break, but I just want to say that y'all are working on the more creative and just version of the food and restaurant world that we wish to see. But it's also sort of a throwback to how restaurants were community spaces.
That's how
and
it
gathering
is.
Places.
That's what it
That's
was.
That's exactly what it was and what it should be.
Yeah.
Family, bringing people together.
Yeah. So one great example is the inimitable Leah Chase and Dookie Chase's restaurant in New Orleans.
Yeah.
How she said that what she did was serve gumbo and hold space for people that were part of the civil rights movement and who were making the world.
And it's beautiful. And
yeah.
you see that.
So you can do that again. We're just trying to figure out how to do that in our world as it continues to change. But we're going to take a little break because this is also part of the world that we are trying to push in ever more radical and magical directions. Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported radio network that broadcasts more than 35 live shows in and around the worlds of food, drink, and beyond. Please go to heritageradionetwork.org to find out how you can be a member and support us and the many other hosts and shows and work that we produce out here. We'll be right back. If I come into a point of hidden raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a point of hidden raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a point of hidden raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a point of hidden raps like this, all you
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Korin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Korin's unique store in Lower Manhattan is home to perhaps the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan, plus the rarest natural sharpening stones and exquisitely designed tableware. They also host special events such as knife sharpening demonstrations and parties with New York's most famous chefs and restaurateurs. Korin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the implicit and elegance of Japanese culture to your table, be it in your home or in the finest restaurant. For more information, visit korin.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair on Heritage Radio Network. We are joined in the studio by the team from Lalito.
Yo.
Carla.
Hello.
Hi.
And Gerardo.
Hello.
If you're just tuning in, you want to definitely rewind eventually, but Lalito is a restaurant in downtown Manhattan that we know and love. And if you haven't been, definitely check them out. Want to talk about the way you guys use social media. Social media is, you know, a word that gets thrown around all the time. People are always talking about it. I think you guys have a very unique approach. You show a very intimate and
show the real.
Yeah, you show the inside yes. your world as people running a restaurant. And
yeah,
was that a calculated move? Did you say we're going to show what we really do?
Here's what happened.
Okay.
It's funny because my mom always gives me feedback about it too. But
when your mom gives you feedback,
she gives me feedback.
Gerardo's mom added me on.
Okay, finally
Instagram, and I love
she was
that.
Just, like, commenting
and I feel so
all the
proud
time.
About it.
Okay, here's the thing.
Does she comment on the post, or she just
yes.
like, oh my god, all the time?
So social media is like a very important tool for restaurants these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have to say that, like, kind of after we opened up there was a lot of reactionary stuff that I had just based off of like my participation in the industry up until this point. So yeah. The last place that I had or that I worked with, it was very much the whole feed was just kind of like my personality, but it was almost like an alter ego. So like I can have my personal time, and everybody always talks about that too, where it's like your burner account or whatever. And the other one is just like I kind of understood, you kind of develop this understanding and psychology behind what you post, how you post, when you post, all that kind of shit. And to me, again, it didn't feel real. And it also, to me, it got to a point where I just felt that like nobody wants to see food pics anymore. Like it's boring. It's like nobody wants to see the same shot. And I guess I was coming more from the fact of like, I don't want to see food pics anymore.
So this is a departure. You're saying we're going to run a restaurant Instagram account and we're not really going to put food pics on.
Well, I mean, we're getting back to it now. Here's the thing. Wait. We're getting back to it now. But there was a moment when I oversaw more of the Instagram. But I did say at a certain point, I was like, okay, I'll take over the feed, which I lost track of. So Carla's back on top of it. But I was like, Carla, you're going to take care of the stories. And you were just going to be you, and you're just going to be
who you are. So when I told them, I was like, okay, look, check this out. Y'all, Instagram is boring. And I know I got to do a lot of things in here, front of house, but, like, I would love to do the Instagram. Like, if you guys, but I was like, my one rule is, like, if you do not let me do whatever I want and, like, record whatever I want, when I want, with what song I want, I don't want
to
do it.
So you had an idea, and you had parameters, and you needed Gerardo and the team to agree to them.
I needed him to be down.
I was totally fine with it.
Okay. Because
we were we were feeling the same thing, where it's just like, accounts can be so boring. It's like, just give some personality and have some fucking...
So my personal Instagram, I thought I was pretty lit. I was like, I'm pretty good at this Instagram thing. Like, this is going to be so easy. Like,
can people follow you? I think you have a private account. No?
Literally, I think so.
At Carla Barla... Cakes.
Oh, you do.
Yeah. And it's
at Carla Barla Cakes.
And it's at Lalito NYC.
Yes.
Underscore, right?
Lalito underscore NYC. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that this is a show about what we recommend, amongst other things, but I really recommend the Lalito Instagram stories. Sometimes, like, when you're scrolling, I always, like, pass over other people's, and I never pass over yours.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, it was, you know, like, Carla would do her stories. My stories were always me just filming Carla singing.
Yeah.
Or
I
like
have a karaoke thing.
Oh, those are really good.
Yeah. Like, I love music. Music is so important. Like, and if you're going to be in a space for 85% of your time, you need to have good music. Right. And I wanted everyone to have a good time. And
that's it?
That's all it was. It was just literally recording us while we were like setting
in between.
Up.
This is the funny part too, because like...
I mean, when you get into work and you're listening to good music and you're setting up, what do you want to, like...
You put it on.
Right.
You're having fun. Right. That's the little bit of fun you get to have before setting up.
But you also highlight your staff members.
That's it.
Yes.
And you become more family and personality, and then you come and, like, that's what people, like, Luis...
That's what I want to lure you in with. That's with, it. Like, the people that is... like, people
Popeye
that are in here.
Singing Frank Sinatra
Popeye,
is one of my highlights.
Oh,
my God. Like, honestly, if you look at the people that work there, it's kind of the funniest... mix of everybody, and like in the greatest possible way.
We just
and
wanted to show that on Instagram. We wanted you to see that part.
I knew it was
the good part.
It was funny when there was a tourist from Michigan asked for Carla's autograph. And
never in my life. Over my Instagram. Over my Instagram. And I
was
just
funny.
Like, he was like, yeah, I had to. He was like, I was like, you sure you just don't want Gerardo's? Because he's the famous one here, like, not me. He's like, no, this Instagram is so good. Like, I want your signature. Yeah. Like, I need you to sign this for me.
That's amazing.
The problem is, and this is like the critique from my mom at first. She was like, is this a club or is this a restaurant? And I'm like, you don't understand. Like,
I spoke to her. I was like, we're trying to have some fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's
to anybody
all
who's like, oh, I don't get what's going on. I'm like, that's because you are in a very dated idea of what a restaurant is. So
you were telling her how you guys innovated, basically.
Yes. Well, you know, it's just like, it's just at the end of the day, you're just trying to have fun.
Right.
And the problem is then when it gets very busy, we don't get as much of a chance to post, but
I'm always the one with the camera, like trying to record like the fun times, like the good times, like the real times that it, like what's happening.
Yeah, sometimes it gets out of hand. But.
Yeah, like I'm sorry,
but
it's because I have. All right, I need to. I have to. Like that's just what I want. Like that's what I know my staff wants. What I want. Like
Is there one funny or crazy story, or how have people responded, like direct messaging you guys, and or being like, you posted a story and then someone was like, I saw your story and I ran right over, or like anything I've funny has happened people like that? Like,
hey, I just want to let you know that I came to have dinner here tonight because I ran past your Instagram and we wanted to come. And I'm like, what?
That's it. That's people like, that's all it. All over.
All the time.
All the boroughs coming.
They're just like, I came across your Instagram and like, I saw your J-Lo bathroom and you're waiting for tonight's song. And like, I had to see it for myself.
It's that. You know what? It's like, funny about having that Instagram presence too. It's like, it's when we, especially like the Tres Leches party, originally we were always going to have like a photographer come and like take photos and stuff like that. But it never worked out. But also I didn't really talk about this, but I made a very like decision that we weren't going to have any photographs taken because I didn't want it to become utilized as a tool for like marketing.
Yeah.
Like I'm so like sensitive to like keeping the purity of things. But what happened from those parties is that it was just blowing up on everybody else's stories. And so the progression of like the Tres Leches parties just kept on getting bigger and bigger because people were seeing it on other people's social media.
It was organic.
Yeah, not just like ours. But that's also kind of why I like the stories aspect of Instagram as opposed to the feed, because it's there for 24 hours and you catch a vibe and that's it.
And then it disappears and then that's it. You don't see it anymore.
And then some other funny ass shit happens.
So even though I post a lot, it deletes. So it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's not there for forever.
That's it. So any.
Just good music. Good music. People love hearing other people enjoying good music.
Can we go back to how we started the conversation with SZA. Good music? Speaking of SZA.
Can we talk about SZA again, please?
So this is, I like to think Tres Leches inspired session in the studio. We got more food than we've ever got in the studio before we got. Someone left us some mandarins. Amanda brought shishito peppers and we got a pizza in here. So we got food. We can think about dancing a little bit.
This pizza was so good. I was trying not to eat the whole thing and not like... Eat it. Talk with my mouth open. Like, I didn't want
to,
like...
You need to eat it while it's hot, girl.
It's so good, you gotta eat it while it's hot. I don't want to stop. I'm super enjoying it.
Oh, go ahead.
To go with the pizza, what are the tunes we got?
Well, this is what I love, because we go through phases, too. Like, I think when we started out, we did, like, Matt Disco hit. We had a Sade
phase, like, where we
I remember the Sade phase.
Oh, my God.
But that was still in the Sade phase.
Yes.
We were...
The disco, when we kind of started out. R&B. Actually, I think if there's anything that can kind of encapsulate everything about the music that we play,
R&B.
It's very R&B heavy. And it's like, it's usually not rock and roll or not even like super rap hip hop, but it's just like...
I like to like Faith Evans.
Yes.
Like, I love Faith Evans. To
like play. If there's a pantheon of people who rule... This is how I always say, like with myself and with whatever space I'm at, I like to... create a pantheon for that space and like how it kind of rules it. So like
keeping the faith.
Yeah. So Faith Evans is definitely in that.
Oh my God. Sade, obviously. The queen. Hello.
Maybe one question to, unfortunately we have to wrap up our session soon. Although it seems like we should just make our home in here and we could just have our own version.
We'll
of
have
Trace
music.
Shortly. So you guys seem like you have a wealth of knowledge about music and strong opinions and know what gives off a good vibe. Is there an album that you would recommend that someone could listen to from start to finish? Let's say you didn't want to make a mix. You wanted to just put something on. Like, I know what mine is. Like, when I want to just have, like, an hour and a half of, like, solid music, and I don't want to hear different artists, I just want to hear something from start to finish. What's something that you would recommend?
It's funny because... I do that sometimes where like we have mixes and all that kind of stuff, but there are moments where I just play a full album.
Yeah.
I think the full album ones are, there was like that Diana Ross album. That was a full album one.
Yeah, we used to all the time.
I'm always stunned and delighted when that happens in a restaurant because I'm like, it's another song. Right. It's another Diana song. Like, yeah. It's the whole album. Two for Tuesday.
My favorite thing is all discovering an album that I don't know about that I can listen to from start to finish.
Which Diana album was that?
I think it's Diana Ross. I think it's her self-titled one.
Okay.
The white t-shirt.
Yeah, that one. It starts with Upside Down. And then there are a couple that's Nina Simone albums that I play. And that's I mean, those are feel good, maybe a little bit heavy. Not heavy, but you know what I mean? Like
that's our vibes.
But more recent ones, I guess, is just like this is a
CZRL, right? SZA, please go get that album. That album was so good. We recommend it. It's what we go to. It's our feel good, the whole entire album. Super like chill vibes.
Who else? I mean, we play, I mean, I play La Lupe a lot, which is a Cuban American singer from back in the day.
Good recommends here. You heard it from the Lalito team.
It's just a lot of R&B. I don't know. Okay. The thing is, if you hit us up, I'm sure we could just share the mixes and all that kind of stuff with you all. Maybe that's what we should just do. More and more, I guess, places are kind of like doing that. So
that sounds like the best idea ever.
That's the biggest recommended.
There should be a. Is there a Lalito channel on?
Not yet.
Spotify.
But,
not yet.
I actually have to work on that, so we'll get on that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What are you going to tell us your album that you play from start to finish?
Oh,
so,
like, it's not anything earth-shattering. It's more, it's Lauryn Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, duh. Duh.
Damn, that's a good one.
That is a good album.
That's a really good.
I probably listen to that, like, once every 2 weeks.
No, that's a good album.
I just...
I also...
Solange was one. Solange is also a good one that I love listening to from start to finish.
Yeah. It's the ones that kind of, like, tell a whole entire story and just, like... the arc of an album.
Right, but then
and
you can also great. Pull out songs.
And know? Amazing it's, songs.
Right.
Solange was a really important one, and that one was really important for us this year.
Yeah. Lauryn Hill, the full album, but there was a moment this summer when I was listening to Lauryn Hill's Unplugged album, start to finish, which anybody who listens to that, I guarantee you will walk away being like, fuck this shit, and like, in a very... reflective and I don't know, it's just kind of like revolutionary kind of like mindset. So I recommend that album, but that's my own personal thing. I don't think I would ever play it at the restaurant.
It's a good album.
But
here's
a
little connector. I saw Lauryn Hill about a year ago at Radio City Music Hall, and she was doing this tour called Diaspora Calling, where she had different Afrobeat and Afrobeats dancers and musicians join her to do live versions of her songs, and she covered Sade.
Ah, shit.
In the middle of the set. Yeah. She did My Love is King. Your Love is King.
Yeah. Good.
I was like crying.
Yeah.
Screaming.
I wish I could have been there. That sounds so great.
I will, I'll DM you the clip that I recorded.
Oh my God.
It's very dark, but you can
I don't care.
You can hear it.
Clearly I'm into it. Please.
We're just getting into the swing of things, but I think we got to go.
We definitely got to go. We unfortunately are almost getting kicked out of the booth, but you know where you can always continue the party, and that's at Lalito. So come say hi to Carla and Gerardo. Well, actually a combination of you two.
Herrera.
We're one. We are one.
Come say hi to them and follow at Lalito_NYC.
Yeah. And just
on
come
Insta.
Out, like, I think... The goal is to maybe do some tres leches, but like maybe in bigger venues this year, and then also come by Sunday nights. I think it's a little bit more intimate, and I like it because it's just people who appreciate the Sunday night vibe get it, is what I'd say. So like all the nerds kind of stay at home, and like the people that just understand we're just here to like have fun and just eat for... the cheap and all that kind of stuff. So that's when you can catch us, I think, me and Carla usually. But come anytime.
You guys need to come back.
Please. Yeah. Thank you.
We will.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See
you guys
us.
Soon.
We are on our way out. I'm going to sing Upside Down by Diana Ross to take us out. We're going to eat this pizza.
We've never had singing on this show. Wow.
It down.
Okay,
thanks so much, guys. Upside down, you're turning me. Okay, we gotta go.
We'll
see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please... Join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Recommended reading is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.